It is Monday, November 2nd. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the spring weather, all you listeners out there. 71 today.
It is. It's heading up the, a high of 71. That's crazy.
That's what they said, November the 2nd. Well, that's okay. I'll take it.
But it's not bad. It's in the upper 40s right now, so not too bad out there.
Nah, it's nice and crisp. It'll wake you up when you step outside, so...
That's
otherwise,
right.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I visited the Lutherans for Life conference,
yes,
at the Creation Museum this past week.
So.
Great. It was a well-attended event, and it was great to see so many people and at the event and to tour the Creation Museum. That was magnificent as well.
Isn't that something?
I wish I would have had a little more time, but that's okay.
It's a pretty good museum, and it's got some interesting issues there and some things. People need to go visit it, and then maybe whenever they get the Noah's Ark finished, that'd be fun too.
Right. Absolutely. Well, what do you have for us this morning, Dr.
Well,
Weiss?
Actually, what I want to do is, there's a lot to talk about. There is what's happening in bioethics with euthanasia. That is still a hot topic. There tends to be with conservative bioethicists, people who study life issues on the conservative side, to get more into the community aspect of it, of serving one another, which is nice to hear. There is what's going on now that this came out of the journal Science, and many people, well, I get the journal, not too many people get this, but they're basically saying that it seems that the war on embryonic stem cell research may be over, because what they're doing is taking skin cells and other body cells, not embryos, and reversing them back into their original state, which is an embryo. It's just a human cell that looks like an embryo and has all of these other different kinds of cells located within them. I know it sounds complicated, but what I'm saying is that it looks like the need for embryonic stem cells is no longer necessary, at least according to one author and some of the work that he's doing in Canada and England and here in the United States, that they call them induced pluripotent stem cells, but those are just skin cells that go back into their original form so that they can study other aspects of it. It certainly is, as I said, more complicated than that. It may leave your listeners scratching their head, but what they're saying is, if we can just take skin cells and get them back into their original format before they became skin cells, we don't need embryonic stem cells. So that's kind of an interesting little debate that seems to be going on. And then, of course, lastly, I have the Wall Street Journal, of course, and I think, I don't know if you've chatted with this on your radio station, his time, about the new China dropped a one-child policy as a, quote-unquote, a grain population poses risks. And they get into the history. They've always had the one China policy, but they've also had more recently for people in rural areas, they had an exemption to allow two children. That was in 2013, actually, if one parent came from a household without siblings. So my question with all of this, however, is, and this gets into a guy by the name of Thomas Malthus, and they use his theory. Malthus basically said that the power of population is so superior to the power of the earth to produce subsistence of man. In other words, so premature death must in some shape or other visit the human race. In other words, we have to find ways to reduce the population so we have more food for those people who are alive. And that's kind of how the Chinese I won't call it a democracy, communism, Maoism works, is that if we keep the population down, we'll have more food for everybody else, that is for the upper class. That's not working, of course, because they have more boys than girls being produced. They got into a lot of sex selection over there. And now, of course, they're having population problems. And even with, I think even people say, oh, it's good they got a two-children policy, I don't think that really addresses the problem that needs to be addressed from our viewpoint, that life, our humanity, is important. And so that when we get into this whole issue of how would we say this, dehumanizing our humanness, what it means to be human. We talked about this last week, that this whole policy, I think, is being overlooked from the standpoint of, I hear people say, oh, that's good, now they got a two-child policy. Well, in most cases, but what does that mean if they have a third, a fourth, and a fifth? Well, you're still dealing with elective abortion. You're still dealing with the issue that human life is only worth as much as the government can use you. That's the problem over there. And so I think that this kind of issue is being brought out I think there's a new book out, and I haven't read it, and I've only glimpsed at parts of it by Wesley Smith, called The War on Humans. And it has to deal with, as far as I can understand it, the so-called anti-human side of, the global warming hysteria. And I've talked about this in my class called Science, Ecology, and Doctrine of Man, where the man, the human being, men, women, and children are less important than the creatures that God has created. And this thrusts me back, and I'd encourage your listeners to study this one in Romans 1:25, where it says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I think this is one of the things we're starting to see, even with some of this environmentalism, is that people really don't understand the global warming concept. They just say, oh, yeah, there's some global warming, and there's this, and there's that. And I don't doubt that there are some issues here. But what they're doing, of course, is blaming the humans. And in some cases, for example, the Gaia theory, where Mother Earth is more important than humans, and biocentrism simply means, now this is, you know, the centric part of life is really the animals and not the humans. There is even a quote by, and I think Wesley Smith uses this one, it's a quote that's been used before, by Paul Watson of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. He says that humans are a pathogen and we're the AIDS of the earth, and humans are no better than bacteria. So this is kind of the thing that people have to be tuned into when you get into some of these issues of population control, studying the environment. And people always go off, say, oh, yeah, it's us, us, us. So what they're doing is heading back to the scriptures. They really are serving the creature and not the creator. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up, that these are issues that attach to all of us, and we need to be studying more about worshiping the creator and not the creature.
Indeed, it's so easy for us to make priorities out of the things around us that we can see, rather than trusting God's word, which is sometimes, well, by human nature is difficult to trust. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that helps us trust God's word.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things, Andy, that I think people need to be tuned into, again, as I've repeated that phrase, is that what we're doing in this, I think, this environmental movement that really has, I think, some good points, but in general, it is more of the radical side of it, I guess you might say, where you have population control. It really is anti-human. And it grants basically rights to nature over against, quote-unquote, human rights. For example, Wesley Smith makes some mention, if I can recall this accurately here, that in Ecuador, they've incorporated rights of nature into the Constitution. And in Bolivia and and 30 United States municipalities have included, Pittsburgh have passed laws granting such rights. So here in the United States, it's starting to find its teeth into this whole issue of the rights of nature over against alongside the rights of human beings, so that you end up with pretty much saying humans are involved in the destruction of the environment. So the environment, we can do without humans, but we can't do without the environment. And that's what's laying out here. So once again, we're back to the first article stuff. that I know many people are interested in studying, but I think we got to go back to the what Paul says about worshiping the Creator, not the creature. So these are some issues that need to be kind of tuned in from the standpoint of when you get into and read all of this stuff about the environment, what really is put at the top? Is it the nature? Is it the quote-unquote Mother Nature, or is it the Creator? And I think that's where we have to begin, with the Creator, not nature.
That's the first commandment, right? And when we start putting other things before God, then we've broken that commandment. We've really broken them all, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's what James says. You break one, you break them all. So we're right back to getting people back into Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, where you have the commandments listed within a different context. And also the first article, not to the exception of the second or third, but certainly the apostolic teachings are very clear that the minute we start talking about humans as lower than nature, we have to go back and study what God has to say, that we're the stewards of nature. We are to take care of nature. Nature is not taking care of us, which is unfortunately the way some people look at it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Anything else with just about 30 seconds or so before we wrap up?
Well, not really. I would just want to emphasize this whole thing with euthanasia is not going away. And I think that when we get into some of these issues, we need to be more into the community of serving one another. And if people are struggling and suffering within the community of the body of Christ, our teachings would say, as St. Paul says, when one hurts, they all hurt. And we have to work together and help those people within the congregation, the body of Christ, who are going through these difficult issues of end of life. And so I think this whole new emphasis of community in terms of bioethics needs to be explored more frequently from our viewpoint.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. God's blessings on your week.
And you too, Andy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we'll study with Pastor Edward Monham from Bethany Lutheran Church in Pueblo, Colorado, and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Pueblo West, Colorado. Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 21. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates.